This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
For a touchdown!
It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
Jimmy Graham brings it down, and that is a touchdown, New Orleans!
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown! Taysom Hill! Taysom TD!
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
And that is going to be a touchdown again. And guess who? Mike Thomas.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
What's up, Saints fans? Welcome into another edition of Inside Black and Gold. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak. And we are in NFL Combine Week. Obviously, plenty to talk about that. We got restructures going on. Jeff and I did an interview with ESPN NFL Draft Insider Matt Miller, and there's a whole bunch of news coming out from the Combine from Dennis Allen. We'll delve into as well. Jeff, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Anyone watching this video can tell it's not my normal backdrop. I am sitting in a kitchen in Connecticut right now because I have visited my family this week. That's why we didn't have an episode earlier in the week, but I wanted to get at least one done while I'm here. But for obvious reasons, I am not up to speed on the Combine per se. I was able to catch up a lot on what Dennis Allen and Jeff Ireland said. So we're going to talk a lot about that. First segment, I want to kind of talk about the non-combine stuff that was all out. We're going to talk about some restructures. Second segment is going to be that interview with Matt Miller. We're going to talk a little about that. And then the final segment, I want to get into some of the actual combine stuff, mostly from Jeff Ireland on some of their scouting processes. But yeah, you know, it's 30 degrees here, so but it's warm inside. That's the biggest difference between Louisiana 30 and Connecticut 30 is they understand how insulation works. And so like when I'm inside, I'm comfy. It's nice. It's a nice step outside. And I'm like, yep, this is why I don't live here anymore.
Yeah. I can't imagine, you know, dealing with the 30 degrees. We had like a week or two of it here and I was over it.
Yeah, there was some snow on the ground when I got here, but it was like warm enough the other day that it rained and like cleared it all out. So now it's just everything dead. Like that's the other thing. You look out the window and it's just this long expanse of dead trees.
Gray charcoal looking.
They'll come back though. I'm pretty confident they'll come back. Anyway, so speaking of guys that are going to come back. Today, you know, so over the weekend, you know, we haven't recorded an episode since I think last Wednesday. So there've been a few things that came out since the last podcast. So we'll catch up on that. The first thing is the salary cap increased by significantly more than we anticipated. I think they were looking at $235 million or something in that range, $245 million, and it actually went up to $255 million. So that's a $30 million increase year over year. It's the largest year-to-year increase in NFL history. And it means that the Saints have about $10 million more in space to play with than they thought they would. So for this, for us, so for a lot of teams, it's like, oh, we have some extra money, we can throw at some free agents. For the Saints, who undergo this very tedious, planned out process every year, it just makes that process that much easier. It's the inverse of what happened in 2021 when the cap actually went down by about 10 million. It actually, so wait, I think this is really, that's really what this is you're kind of just correcting for that season where it went down. And so, you know, when you're looking at the Saints, they had about 83 million going in, about 81 million, give or take, depending on where you look. And that number dropped to 71 million that you end up ultimately having to clear. They restructured Derek Carr. They restructured a handful of these contracts. The most recent ones are Nathan Shepard, which was smaller. It was like 2.7 million. Cesar Ruiz, which is in the range of 7 million. They also got Carl Granderson, which is around 7 million. And then the most recent was Cam Jordan, which came out this morning. There was some confusion initially from Adam Schefter's report where he said that they cleared about 1.7 million. And that was weird because it was like they could clear 9.3. So if they only cleared 1 point something, it would almost indicate a pay cut or something like that. But that was corrected later in the day. They did exercise that full $9.4 million restructure. So that leaves the Saints at about $16 million over the salary cap. And with plenty of time, they have until I think March 13th to get there. And they have plenty of options in terms of how to get there. So it's really, really, you've reached the point now where it's just a question of who do you want to restructure? I thought Cam Jordan was a no-brainer. A lot of people would say, hey, he's old, he wasn't productive this past season. And I get that. To me, I look at it as, okay, is this guy going to retire, be cut, or traded after the 2024 season? And I know the Saints have no interest in trading him or cutting him, so I can eliminate that. And I know that he has said that he goes in two-year intervals with his decisions on whether to keep playing. Year 13 was the last one. That's the year we just got through. The next will be year 15. So unless something changes drastically for him from a health perspective, he's fully intending on playing in 2025. So it just makes the amount you can clear versus the fact that you're not going to have to deal with this next season in terms of retirement made that make a lot of sense. And if the option was like, hey, we can either restructure Cam or Alvin Kamara, I'm going with Cam. If we could either restructure Cam or Ryan Ramczyk, I'm going with him. So I think that was a no-brainer. Now the next guys you're looking at, okay, do you restructure Tyrann Mathieu, Taysom Hill, DeMario Davis? I think you have to hit two of those three. So it's just a question of who. But they're going to get there very easily, and then it's just going to be from there. It's a question of how much space do you want to clear to sign free agents and whatnot. But we are well along this process, and it's all kind of where we expected it to be.
Yeah, just like the beginning of it all, you hear the pundits around the league criticizing the Saints, you know, and we, you know, we're at the point where, you know, like you said, $16 million now they just have to clear of their slash and dash with the salary cap. I guess we're just used to it by now where it doesn't really faze anybody in the local media. But man, oh man, you mentioned Cam Jordan. I'm hoping last year was just a small blip and not really – we're seeing the end, obviously, of Cam's run in the NFL, just because I know he dealt with some, you know, injuries last season that really limited him, and he played through it. And I know everyone talks about you don't want to hear excuses from guys, but it definitely was not the same Cam Jordan. So I'm hoping that the ankle issue is more of, you know, the reason we saw that lack of production from him.
Yeah, I mean, I think reality is somewhere in the middle, right? Of like, yes, he has declined to some extent, but not nearly as much as it seemed last year. One of the issues, and I think Dennis Allen said this, I don't know where, I think he might have said this in the interview with Steve Weitz and James Palmer,
right?
Is like his issue isn't so much pressuring the quarterback, it's getting the guy to the ground, you know? And that's been something that he's never been a lead at that. He's never been a 20 sack guy. But he's always been, you know, in that 8 to 15 range, right? In that middling range. And I think that's where you saw, especially on like third downs where the guy's going to scramble around and try to, you know, extend plays. That's where he struggled. And I think the solution is take some of that off his plate. And that's what you did later in the year. And it worked. And I think Cam is still an elite rundowns player. And you need to get elite rundowns action from him. And I hope that they can come up with a scenario that they take advantage of some younger, more athletic pass rushers. And we'll see what they do with Zach Bond in free agency. We'll see what Isaiah Foskey maybe can do in year two. If they draft another guy, I think they're going to look at pass rushers for sure in this draft. So I think that's kind of what it is you need to find a way to tease out what's left for Cam without getting too caught up in this idea that, oh, he's the star, he's the three down player. And you got to be able to bridge that gap. And I think they will. I think they've kind of gotten to that point. And the money is the money. Like people want to get caught up in the contract. The contract is what it is. He's going to be here. So it's about maximizing what you can out of that money. And that's why the restructure always felt like a no-brainer. Shifting gears here slightly. Well, I do want to mention that we do know the NFLPA report card came out yesterday. We're recording this Thursday. We're not going to get too deep into it today. We can mention it. We can talk about it. But I do want to do a full episode on that because there's a lot to dive into. And I haven't really gotten a chance to go through it all yet in terms of, like, I've gone through a lot of the Saints stuff, but I haven't really looked around. One of the things I like to do is go through everyone that got Fs and figure out what exactly prompted an F. Because there are some teams with a lot of Fs. The funny thing about it, in the Saints were in the middle. The Saints ended up 19th. They got 8 Bs, 1 A. But it was a category where everybody got A's, the strength coaches. It's kind of interesting. And when you look at the grades, you need to look at not just what the grades are, but also where they land among NFL teams, right? So you got an A minus in strength coaches, but you ranked 14th, whereas you got a B plus in, like, think training room or something like that. And that was fourth. So it's like, it's not only just what the letter grade is, but that's what media wants to hinge on, so they can have these hot takes like, oh man, the Saints. The funny thing is they got an F, and I'm sure this is probably annoying to the Saints because they got an F in cafeteria. And what is their big project of the offseason? What is prompting the training camp?
Hey, they realize the issue, right?
Yeah, so they're fixing it, but that right. doesn't mean. But they're still going to get all this grief for getting an F. So these surveys went out November to August to November. So right. a lot of it, some of it's training camp, some of it's early season, some of it's midseason. Anyway,
the one that's not like real quick was a B minus for Dennis Allen. Wow, that's 29th.
Well, right. And I think it is interesting. And the real interesting part is how predictive some of these grades were on the coaching side, because there were only 3 teams that got a grade of C or worse for their coaches. One was the Raiders. One was the Falcons and the other was the Commanders. You know what those 3 teams have in common?
They fired their coaches.
And there was 10 teams that got a B minus or worse. A B or worse. 2 of those teams were the Chargers and the Patriots. So those 2 teams got fired. The others were the Browns, Saints, Bucks, Jets, and Bears. And I think you could look at all of those teams, maybe with the exception of the Bucks, and the Browns, and say a lot of these teams are on thin, or like a lot of these coaches are just on various stages of thin ice. And the only reason you don't say that about the Browns and the Bucks is because they made the playoffs, but both of those teams still kind of underperformed. The Browns, you lost your quarterback, whatever. The Bucks, you didn't have, you went with Baker Mayfield, so that kind of, anyway. So it's all there.
When this survey was taken early on, you could say the Bucks head coach was on the hot seat.
Yeah, and again, like, we don't know when these surveys came in. Is it training camp? Who is, like, how? What's the frequency of surveys across teams? It's going to vary, but there were like 1,700 responses. So if you average that out over 32 teams, that's about 53 players per team. So that would indicate that, it's 90-man roster. So you're getting about halfway. Anyway, it's a whole thing. We're going to go through all this on Monday, right. So I don't want to get too into it, but it is interesting. Every year it's interesting. The Saints did okay. They didn't do great. They didn't do bad. They did okay. They were in the middle. And
I will say one last thing about it. I don't know if you saw TJ Watt tweeted about the NFLPA rankings, and he's like, kind of with the Pro Bowl stuff, you throw it out or you give it to a rookie to fill out. But between picking team captains and then also the NFLPA survey, the players do take it seriously.
No, I think they do. And this year there was about 400 more responses than the year before. It's the second year they've done it. So, and again, like, the thing that I think, and I want to get into this again, but it's supposed to be a roadmap for players who are entering free agency for the first time and they're trying to figure out where they want to go play. And it gives them an indication of what this team does well, what some of the pitfalls are, and that's what it's meant for. It's not meant for media analysis to be like, oh, they suck. Their cafeteria sucks. Oh no. So But that's what it ends up being. And that's
but that's kind of funny to me because Chiefs ownership got an F, but yeah. I still want to go play there.
Well, I've been listening to, I'm in Connecticut, so I'm hearing a lot of WEI, like the Boston stations. I drive around with my dad in the car. They're like, oh, man, Robert Kraft got a terrible grade. And it's just funny. But either way, these guys need big planes. What's going on? Anyway.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So let's get off that. I do want to talk a bit about, so a couple of things Dennis Allen said. He talked about Jameis Winston, Marshawn Lattimore, Mike Thomas, Ryan Ramczyk. Right. And the first one is Ryan Ramczyk. And I'm not going to play that clip because it's 13 seconds long. But basically what Dennis Allen said is the team feels a lot better about where he is at right now than they did a month and a half ago. He had a minor procedure on his knee to kind of clean it out. That's these guys have these procedures. These are run of the mill procedures. A lot of players have these procedures. You'd never hear about them. But you're just kind of cleaning out scar tissue, getting in a situation where anything that might have been bugging him that you can fix, you fixed. And so that's where he is. And to me, that's positive because he didn't have to give that kind of ringing endorsement. He could have said, yeah, we're still kind of in wait and see mode, whatever. So to me, that's a very positive thing because you're going, especially you're at the combine, you're trying to figure out what are your musts, what are your wants. And if you can go into next season with a scenario that's like, we don't know what the long-term prognosis is for Ryan Ramczyk in terms of how many years he can play and whether you're going to get the full value of that contract. But if you can go into next season confident that you'll at least get starting caliber Ryan Ramczyk for 2024, then that makes things a lot easier to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be difficult with this team between Ramczyk and you got a guy where I know we're getting into two with Trevor Penning. I still feel like that tackle position, you got to address it.
Oh, yeah, you got to look at it. You got to bring in bodies. But at the same time, I feel a lot better if I know that my star right tackle is still my star right tackle. And I'm not, you can still draft a guy in the first round and say he's going to be your future right tackle. But I'm just saying, like, just from the pieces on the board, you got a chessboard and where you're putting the pieces. And I feel better about where the pieces are if Ryan Ramczyk is one of those pieces.
Just the stories about what he's dealing with in that knee definitely worry me, though, when you hear, he's missing cartilage.
Any degenerative type knee stuff.
Yes, exactly.
For a guy who has to anchor on those legs.
Expect those veteran days of rest to continue this.
You're still going to manage it in the same, you're still going to be managing it. It's not like it's gone, but I think the team just feels a little more comfortable that he will be available. So that's one thing. He talked about Mike Thomas too. We didn't really get much. We don't need to get into that. I don't think DA really knows what's going on with Mike.
Does anyone?
Yeah, I that's a good question. D.A. got asked if he had surgery, and D.A. was like, I'm not sure. Which I'm not surprised that the team is not fully up to speed on what's going on with Mike's rehab, and D.A. might not be, but
it'd have been funny if he was like, I don't know, it's not my problem anymore.
That's kind of how I kind of read it. Yes. Because he was asked about Marshawn, and that's the next thing I get into, because he had answers about Marshawn. And he was asked about injuries for Marshawn. Anyway, let's listen to what he had to say about Marshawn, because I think there were some interesting things in that too. Let's see.
What can you say about where you guys stand with Marshawn Lattimore? I know his contract got tinkered with. I mean, have there been talks with him about staying together?
Look,
possible trade?
Lattimore's on our football team. He's a good football player. He's been a good football player for us. And so, obviously there's a lot of things that happen, throughout the offseason, But Lat's a big part of our team right now.
You mentioned earlier Marshawn and right now. Just as a coach, what is that process like of figuring out who's on the roster? And specifically with him, if you guys do decide to move on or trade, that's a really big decision. What kind of goes into that? Whatever you end up.
Yeah, I mean, I think really it's about, I think it's about guys that we feel like can help us, win football games. Guys that we feel like can continue to build the right type of culture here. and guys that are, you know, willing to do the things that are it's necessary to do to succeed. And so, look, like I said, I mean, Marshawn's part of our football team. He's been a big part of our football team. Unfortunately, the last couple of years, health has been a big factor in that. And so, I think the biggest thing is, you know, let's get Marshawn healthy and let's see where we're at as a football team. And, you know, we'll get the right guys out there that give us a chance to win.
Does health feel like a future concern for him at all? I mean, I know they were
I don't know that those are necessarily predictors of, you know, future, you know, injury issues. And yet, look, I think anytime you have some injuries, those all, you know, factor into any type of decisions that you make. But like I said, look, he's a good football player. He's made a lot of football plays for us. I've been with him for a long time. And I think he is a guy that can help us win.
So there's a few things that stand out there. The first is right now. You didn't have to say right now. He chose to say right now. This is the time of year where we listen to something and we listen to it again and we read into it and we read into it again and then we read into it a third time. But when you say someone is a big part of your team right now, the obvious inference there is that is a temporary situation. And
right,
so
that could change.
whether that's he's intending that to be how it sounds, that's how it sounds to me. And I do think that's reality, is you're going to shop Marshawn. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to trade Marshawn, but I think 100% you're going to figure out whether there's a market and what the market is. And if there's a trade on the table that makes sense, I think you're going to make it. If there's not, you are perfectly fine bringing Marshawn back and having your all-pro star cornerback still on your roster. But that's just going to be a question. But either way, I do agree with the rest of it in the sense that, like, okay, yeah, he's had these injuries year after year, these last 2 years, but I don't think you look at it and say he's an injury prone guy, because you lacerate your spleen.
Freak accident.
That's a freak injury. The high ankle sprain, that can happen to anybody. He got rolled up on. It's just what happened. So I agree with that. And I think that that's kind of, you know, when you're a coach, that's important to say, because it's like, I don't think teams are going to look at that and be like, oh, we can't trust him. He's gotten hurt. Guys get hurt. It's the NFL. But I think you're getting an honest answer from DA there, whether he intended to be that honest or not, in that, yeah, this team would love to have Marshawn. But I think there's also the reality of the situation where maybe you don't, and you have to figure that out.
The thing that troubles me with the talk of trading Lattimore is the fact that for it to be conducive for salary cap, it can't happen until after the draft, and that doesn't make sense to me at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other question, is if you do trade him, when do you trade him? You know, and it's not, you know, it's not going to kill you from the cap perspective if you trade him prior to June 1st, but it's not going to make life easier on you either. So that's just the question.
To me, though, too, you think about that. What's Dennis Allen going to do to set up a could be future coach with draft picks for a guy that you could use on the team right now? I don't know. It's all, the situation's odd to me.
I also don't think it's necessarily like Dennis Allen making these decisions either. Like,
no,
he's not in charge of player personnel, right? Like, to an extent, like he has say in the matter, but he's not calling teams saying, what are you going to give us for Marshawn? You know? So I think there's a reality where, you know, maybe Marshawn gets traded, but like, he's not sitting there saying we're trading, you know, you get what I'm saying? Like, it's not necessarily something that's happening in his immediate vicinity. You know, he's not the one calling other GMs and engaging the market and doing all that. So
I just hope it's a situation too, where it's not, where, you know, with all the Marshawn Lattimore talk, trade talk popped up, is the fact that he's unhappy here now and wants to move on. I hope that's not the case.
It's tough to know. I mean, it's like, okay, Mike Thomas goes a little nuts on social media, but the result of that is we know where he stands.
Yes.
We haven't heard from Marshawn. I mean, even during the season when he was healthy, he didn't talk. I don't think we've had an interview with Marshawn since training camp. So you don't really know where he stands, because he hasn't told us.
I can't even remember getting him in camp, which is crazy. I'm sure we got
him in camp once, I think.
And then that was it. Yeah, right.
I think that's the only time he talked all year was like early in camp, and we would ask him and he's not into it, you know, and then he got hurt. So I think there was this like, I'll talk next week. And then he got hurt and then it was never.
Yeah.
So, cause that happened in week 10. It's not like it happened in week 15. So it's like, you know, halfway through the season, he's not there anymore and you don't interview players that are hurt. So, you know, that's, it's not, but yeah. So we, it's just tough. I don't think there's a lot of information, to tell you where he stands or how he is feeling about the situation.
Yeah, come on, Marshawn, you got to start taking after Mike T and start tweeting some stuff so we know it's up.
I don't think that's the solution.
No, it's definitely not Marshawn.
Unless he really wants to be traded, then that's a good way to make sure you get traded, is to start doing stuff like that. One last clip that I'll play from DA, and I just thought it was interesting, is DA talking about Jameis, because here you go.
I know obviously a lot was made about Jameis at the end of the season, but are you able to share a little bit about kind of where things stand with him going into the offseason?
Yeah, look, I think Jameis is still under contract as we sit here right now, and there's a lot of things that happened throughout the, you know, offseason program. We'll see how those things play out. But as we sit, and look, I know Jameis has said, I want to go and be a starter, you know, you know, obviously that's something that he aspires to do, and we'll see how things play out.
I did appreciate that, because it's like he wants to go be a starter and that ain't happening here.
Basically, right. that's another situation that's just awkward right now.
And he's referencing the interview that Jameis did with Kyle Mosley at the Legacy Bowl, right? So it's funny, because like, and we knew this. This isn't new. He talked last year about how he still thinks he can be a starter in the NFL.
Sure.
But like, that's the thing. He chose to come back and be a backup on the Saints. Now, I don't know if that was a product of not having an opportunity. No one was going to give him a chance to start. But who knows? You got another offseason. You got a chance to go around and talk to teams. And even if he, and the thing is, like, I think there's a scenario for Jameis where he signs on to be a backup somewhere because there will be an opportunity to step into a starting role. And there's that's different from a scenario like New Orleans, where you're going to sign on to be the backup. And that is ironclad. You are not going to be the starter. Even if he came back and Derek went down, I don't know if you'd go. Like, because I think Jameis likes it here. And I think he'd like to stay if he could. But if he wants to be a starter, he's probably going to have to go somewhere else.
I think it's pretty clear that the locker room likes him too, because everybody was all supportive of, let's get Jamal Williams that touchdown.
Yeah,
it wasn't wait a minute, we got to listen to coach.
He's well-liked in the locker room. He's well-liked in the city. He's a very popular player. So we'll see. But I don't think the Saints are gonna be tripping over themselves to bring him back when the lasting image of Jameis is him openly defying the head coach in the final play of the season.
That to me was the nail in the coffin for sure. But like Alan just said in that clip, man, he technically he's under contract right now.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to do something with him, right? So it's going to have to, the something's going to have to happen one way or the other. A few other things, and, you know, we don't need to play the clip. DA confirmed that training camp's going to be out in He didn't confirm that it's going to be in California, but he did confirm that it is going to be outside of the area. Right. I think there is still probably some T's to cross, whatever, but Irvine is the place. And, you know, what he said, and then I think this is the same reason that Sean Payton really liked to take the team on holiday, is, you know, it's just a bonding experience, right? Like, it's the same reason, like, when they would go out west and they would stay, you know, I think a good example is when they played the Rams in 2019, that the game Breeze got hurt and they stayed out west and practiced out west because they had the follow-up game against the Seahawks the next week. And I think like there's a reason that Sean liked to do stuff like that. And it's because you just build a camaraderie, you hole up in a hotel and you do, you know, nothing but football. That's what you're there to do. It's your life. And that's what it's supposed to be here, but there's a lot more distractions. So as much as they like being out there with the fans and getting that experience and allowing the fans to interact with the team, I think they're excited about what's going to happen this training camp.
Yeah. And it just so happens to coincide with them wanting to do some renovations around the building. I'm sure there is going to be maybe 2-3 practices eventually that the fans, you know, when they'll come back home, fans will be able to come out. I'm, you know, it's not positive, but I would guess they would do something.
I'm sure they'll do something for fan engagement, whatever it is. I'm not sure what it'll be, but it's interesting. And you know, hey, man, and then when they come back, they'll have this swanky new cafeteria. So maybe they'll get a better grade next year.
There you go. Right. Exactly. It should be. When I saw that, we'll crick with the grades anytime with food and New Orleans, we should never be an F.
Well, and the quality of the food is the other thing. Like, I don't know how renovating the cafeteria will improve the quality of food, but that's the second year in a row that they have gotten significant criticism on the quality of the food at the facility. And, you know, I don't know. I've never had it, so I can't tell you if it's good or not.
Here comes a dig. I sure hope that the facility chef is not the same chef for the Dome.
I hope it's better than this press box food. Let's
put yes, exactly.
But, you know, and then there's a few other things. You talked about Clint Kubiak. You talked about, you know, accountability, stuff like that. That's stuff we can get into as we get further into the offseason, particularly training camp. So we'll cut it off there. But this is Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak, dispatched in Connecticut. He is Steve Geller. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak. You can follow him at Steve Geller WBL. As you can tell from watching the video, neither of us is at the combine. So we'll have to rely on what they tell us. And one person who we talked to this week, or last week, I should say, is Matt Miller from ESPN. Gave us some insight into a lot of these prospects, what he's looking at, some strength of this draft. We're going to come back. We're going to listen to that interview, and we're going to talk about a bit. Who dat? This is Inside Black and Gold. Stick around.